Juice Radio. I mega faulted your mother.
You like discussions about incest?
Because first of all, it's the worst movie ever made.
The link ain't blue, so I can't click it.
Visit our website at www.geekjuicemedia.com.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Geek Juice Radio. Thank you very much for tuning in. Tonight, we are going to be playing another edition of our game that's quickly gaining renown, the Top 10 List game. My name is Charlie McMullen. With me is the venerable Alex Jowski.
Go, Diego, go.
Yeah, that guy.
And the staunchly anti-Diego, Kevin Daly.
After today, I hate all Diegos.
Even San Diego?
No, I like San Diego.
It's German for whale's vagina.
Now I want to watch Anchorman. You guys are mean.
You're welcome. You get to watch Anchorman. It's a privilege, Kevin.
I like Anchorman. I don't have a copy anywhere, so it's not like I can just go, oh, time to watch Anchorman.
So you are going to be jonesing for Anchorman all night, and you can't.
And probably tomorrow. I'll probably be bitching at Jowski tomorrow about this.
All right. Well, the first list we're going to start with is one. I'll set this one list out because I already know this list. It is the top 8 worst love songs ever.
All right.
Since you're our regular winner at this, Kevin, you get to go first.
Top 8 worst love songs ever. I'm going to go with My Heart Will Go On from Titanic. By far my least favorite love song.
Rightfully so. As a wedding DJ, I have grown to hate that song so much more than I did before, and I was not a huge fan of it to begin with. My pick is a song that I actually enjoy, but people call it a love song, but it's really not. Time of Your Life by Green Day.
Yeah, Good Riddance.
Yeah, it is very much not a love song, but a lot of idiots assume that it is, and they get all misty-eyed when it plays.
Number 8 on this list, I Love You by Vanilla Ice.
He loves somebody?
Other than himself.
Oh my god, this is abysmal. I wish you could see this video, Kevin. This is so much funnier if you're watching the video.
Alright, well, I will have to look it up in the future.
Number 7, Eat You Alive by Limp Bizkit.
That's a love song?
As opposed to Eat You Dead, I guess it is.
Is that a song about oral sex? Please tell me it's not a song about Fred Durst performing oral sex on somebody.
Number 6, Baby One More Time by Britney Spears.
That's a love song? Yep. Sex song, maybe.
Oh, God. I always imagine that's what it sounds like when Britney Spears starts a car in the morning. Yeah.
Number 5 is You're Having My Baby by Paul Anka.
Yes.
What a lovely way to...
That is a horrible, horrible, horrible song.
Yes.
Touching me, touching you.
Yeah.
Let me finish in you. You love me.
Yes.
Yeah, it's my god. That yeah, Adam Carolla used to talk shit on that song all the time on the radio show.
And rightfully so, it's an awful song. It's like just because the phone rang and it stopped you from pulling out does not mean she loves you.
You're charging me child support.
I'm paying my baby mama.
Number 4 is Please Don't Go Girl by New Kids on the Block.
I liked how they threw in girl just to like throw off the gay trail.
Number 3, Tonight by Enrique Iglesias.
Yeah, I can't really hear it that well. Post, it's cool.
Tonight I'm f***ing you. Number 2, Lips of an Angel by Hinder.
Of Hinder. I don't like... That's a genre of music I just call bro rock.
Yeah, pretty much something to listen to while you're playing beer pong or some
Yeah.
Well, what makes it a bad love song is that so many girls just... claim this is our song.
I know, and when they say it's like what I was saying about Green Day. The song is about cheating on your girlfriend with your ex.
And number 1 is Sometimes When We Touch by Dan Hill.
Yeah. terrible song.
Yeah.
The opening line of You ask me if I love you and I choke on my reply. I'd rather hurt you honestly than mislead you with a lie.
The f*** does that even mean?
Top 10 video games that punish you for being a jerk.
Okay.
Like if
there
you
are video games that punish you for being a jerk?
There are a few of them. Just whenever you do like a... Well, I mean, Mario Kart's a bad example, but when you shrink everybody, that would be you being a jerk.
Or when you try to go all GTA and it's like, you know what, I'm going to kill civilians.
Yeah.
Huh. In fact, most games I play seem to reward you for being a jerk.
My guess is The Sims.
Oh, yes, because your people die.
Yeah, you can...
But that may be your goal.
It's not supposed to be your goal, though, is my point.
My sister used to kill little children in pools by taking the ladder out.
The Sims 3 for Xbox 360, though, that's the only one that I've played, and you do lose, like, life points or whatever if one of your people dies.
In that same logic, I'm going to go with SimCity.
SimCity?
Yeah, when you create disasters.
Yeah.
And murder people, especially if you're doing it in a scenario where everybody hates you, you've lost.
Yeah, that's true. Roller Coaster Tycoon would be a good one too. My official guess is Sims, one of the Sims games, unless it's SimCity. Kevin?
Well, I guess I can go with BioShock because you get less atom over the course of the game if you decide to suck all the atom out of all the little sisters. Instead of saving them.
I gotta play BioShock.
Oh, it's a great game.
I've not played it yet.
You like Ayn Rand?
Do I ever?
That's kind of a critique of Rand, isn't it?
Yeah.
High concept game, though.
I love high concept games.
10 is Bully.
Oh, I never played that. It's a Rockstar game, though.
I didn't play that either. So in Bully, are you like a kid who's getting picked on?
No, you can be the bully, but you don't want to be the bully because then you go to detention.
Well, but you also get bullied, too, depending on the... Yeah.
Number 9 is Fallout.
Kind of, but you can be a jerk and still get away with a lot of things.
Number 8, The Legend of Zelda.
How so?
Like the chickens?
Yeah, the chickens. Remember, if you hurt a chicken, the chickens attack you.
I thought I played Zelda long enough. I'm not familiar with these chickens. What happens with the chickens?
The game punishes you with an army of unkillable war chickens.
It's pretty funny.
It sounds funny.
Number 7, Metal Gear Solid 2.
I just remember that game being obtuse and undecipherable.
So is its purpose on this list, I guess. Number 6, any old text adventure game.
Yeah, I guess.
A text adventure game?
The screenshot it has is from Adventure.
Well, like Quark.
And a voice booms from above. How dare you swear in my game? You shall now suffer a fate worse than death. You have died.
I played a game back in the 90s. It was a sort of game like that, but if you type like "f*** you" to the taxi cab driver, he pulls a gun and shoots you.
Oh!
So you get killed for swearing, evidently. Is it a Mormon game?
No, it's just, you know, joke, I guess. I don't know. PC games from the era, you know, I guess.
Yeah.
Number 5 is Tomb Raider 2.
Never played it, so I could not...
The only thing I know about any of the Tomb Raider games is when I was in high school, a friend of mine found a code that makes Lara Croft naked the whole time, and it was awesome.
Number 4 is Resident Evil 4.
Oh, if you kill the merchant, you can't buy any items for the rest of the game?
Yep. Number 3, Animal Crossing.
Animal Crossing? Can you, like, reroute them onto, like, a Frogger-type highway?
Well, apparently, in this game here, this guy will lecture you on how to save your game, and if you try to avoid him, he yells at you. It's a character...
Is that Tonino you're consulting with, Kevin?
Yeah, I'm not really paying attention, though.
Fine, here.
No! Go away.
Only when spoken to, woman!
Number 2 is Super Smash Brothers.
Again, how? I've played the game lots of times, but I don't... Apparently, this list sucks.
This list does blow. Number 1 is Banjo-Kazooie.
Okay.
Alright, yeah, Banjo-Kazooie. That game sucked. I've never played it.
I've never played it either.
I heard the game itself is fine, but...
And I'm not going to play a game called that. I have standards.
Let's go with the top 10 dark-themed teen movies.
Dark-themed... Okay, this is kind of interesting.
Blood Red Moon.
Blood Red Moon.
I don't think that'll be on here. That movie's a bit too Canadian. Or obscure, rather.
Or how much
why don't you lay off the 51st state, eh? Okay, dark-themed teen movies. I'm going to have to think on that for a minute.
Well, while you think, I'm going to go with Gus Van Sant's Elephant.
Okay. All right, I'm going to go with... 13 with Holly Hunter. You ever seen that one? It's pretty messed up. Have you ever seen that, Kevin?
I have not.
Yeah, it is messed 13? Up. It was pretty much just a character study on a girl cresting into her teenage years. It went to some really messed up places.
All right, Kevin, you got a guess here?
Unless you're going to go with Blood Red Moon.
Dark? No, I'm not going to. I wish I could. Dark teen movies, you say?
Yes.
Oh, before Kevin goes, I'm going to change my guess to Kids.
Oh!
With Rosario Dawson.
And Chloe Sevigny.
Yes, Chloe Sevigny.
Pre or post Brown Bunny?
I was going to say, for those of you not familiar with Chloe Sevigny, just Google Chloe Sevigny plus sloppy blowjob plus Vincent Gallo.
Heathers, that's a teen movie, right?
That is.
Oh, that's a good one.
That is a good one.
I'm going to go with that one.
I love Heathers. That is such a good movie.
This list has a picture of Eddie Murphy. I'm hoping there is no Eddie Murphy on this
list. It's all the professor movies.
Number 10 is Kids.
Boom! course, it's only number 10.
Number 9 is The Outsiders.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I totally should have thought of that one.
C. Thomas Howell.
Number 8, River's Edge.
Oh, River's Edge is awesome. That is one of... That simultaneously has Crispin Glover's best performance and Dennis Hopper's best performance.
Number 7 is Elephant from Gus Van Sant.
Good one.
Number 6 is Brick.
Oh, Brick is a good one.
It's the one I told you about, the film noir one.
Yeah, I've heard of that. Yeah, obviously, because you told me about it.
Number 5...
Derp. Derp.
Number 5 is L.I.E.
Which I'm not familiar with. Is that Macaulay Culkin there?
That looks like him. Oh, no, it's Paul Dano.
Is that Paul Dano? Oh,
that's
yeah.
That's Paul Dano's first movie. Number 4, Precious, based on the novel Pushed by Sapphire.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Number 3 is 13.
I shouldn't have changed my guess.
Number 2, Boys in the Hood.
But the Boys in the Hood are always hard.
And number 1 is Rebel Without a Cause.
Keep talking that trash and we'll pull your card.
Cards will be pulled.
Yeah, why was My Own Private Idaho not on that list? Have you ever seen My Own Private Idaho?
No, but I have the B-52 song stuck in my head.
And sorry again, for putting that song in your head.
That's actually my favorite B-52 song, but...
Mine will always be Rock Lobster.
Meanwhile, I do not like Rome, my least favorite B-52 song.
Yeah, it's not great.
Tommy likes it.
Top 10 films where the villains win.
Okay.
And again, we have a picture.
If we're keeping score this time, you're in the lead, because you got Elephant.
Top 10 films where the villains win.
Where the villains win. 7 would be a good one.
He wins on a technicality.
That's the best kind of win, is on a technicality.
Well, how do you define villains, too? I mean...
The bad guy.
Just the antagonist of the story, just in general.
I mean, technically Snatch, the villains win, because Cousin Abby gets the diamond.
But is Cousin Abby a villain?
No, I don't think any of the characters in the movie are a villain, though. That's why I'm asking about the definition of this movie.
Bricktop was a villain.
Kinda. I mean, he's a jackass.
He is a jackass. I mean, I guess the villain is defined by the character's motives.
I'm going to go with Nightmare on Elm Street, the first one.
I'm going to go with Empire Strikes Back.
Well, if you're going to go with Empire, how about I go with Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince?
All right.
I'm going to assume that's a good one because I've still not seen any of the Harry Potter movies.
Number 10 is Matchstick Men.
Matchstick Men was a good movie. You ever see that?
That's Nick Cage, right?
Nick Cage, Sam Rockwell, and what's her name? Alison Lohman.
I haven't seen it,
but I've heard of it. I didn't realize it was that kind of...
I watched that movie in jail.
When were you in jail?
During the divorce.
Oh, yeah. That's right. I remember that.
Number 9 is Brazil.
Bad guys win in Brazil?
Technically, yeah.
Technically.
That's not...
Oh, of course. The Wicker Man.
Oh, yeah.
And why is it number 8?
Okay, I'm guessing which
Wicker Man?
The original, of course.
Okay, I was going to say, we better be talking about the original.
Rosemary's Baby.
I guess the villain kind of wins.
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Okay, yeah, that's totally the bad guy's winning because Nicholson gets shock therapy at the end of that.
He gets lobotomized.
Yeah, he gets a total lobotomy.
Number 5, Silence of the Lambs.
He did.
No, because the villain is Buffalo Bill Cody, and he dies.
Okay, I mean...
Hannibal Lecter is not the villain in that movie.
He's at least a secondary villain. I mean, he ate a dude's face while he was in custody, and he did get away.
Number 4 is Fight Club. Yeah.
Wrong. No.
They're the same person.
They're the same person, and he didn't get away with... Well, he did. I mean, the buildings blew up, but still.
Number 3 is Memento.
Don't ruin that one for me. I still haven't seen it.
Okay, let's not talk about that then.
Number 2 is 7.
Yeah.
Yeah, which you said on technicality.
Number 1 is The Usual Suspects.
So damn, Empire is nowhere in there.
Did any of us get anything on that one?
I did not.
No, none of us did.
If I would have went with 7, I would have done very well, but I did not.
Top 10 films so bad they are hilarious.
Manos.
So I'm going to...
Tawny said The Room. I'm not changing that. I'm going to stick with Manos, but The Room also belongs.
I'm going to take The Room then. If you're going to stick with Manos, I'm rooming it up here.
I will stick with Manos because I said it first.
Okay, so bad they're hilarious. I'm going to go with... Bride of Chucky.
Any of the Leprechaun movies.
Yeah.
Number 10, we have Mosquito. I watched that one back in high school. That is...
How funny was it?
It was funny. There's a line in there where some guy... And this is how he says the line. Help, help, a giant mosquito is attacking us. Number 9, Star Crash.
so far. Don't know these movies.
Number 8, Ticks. Another one I watched.
Yeah, Ticks was pretty funny.
Number 7 is Slashers. Well, you could just say the genre rather than a movie called Slashers.
It actually is, though.
It actually is a movie called Slashers.
And the poster looks interesting.
Number 6, Rock and Roll Nightmare. I haven't heard of a
lot. Oh, yes, Rock and Roll Nightmare was awesome.
Number 5, Birdemic.
Oh!
Yes, Birdemic, yeah. Well,
that was one of your first antisocial commentaries, wasn't it?
No, I kept meaning to.
Because I remember you telling me about this movie like 6 months ago.
Oh, this movie is epic.
Yeah, I still hate Jowski to this day for making me watch it.
Hanging out with the family. Gonna have a party. Number 4 is Pocket Ninjas.
Pocket Ninjas?
Yep.
Okay, this list is going way deeper than I thought it was going to.
Number 3 is Undefeatable.
Featuring Cynthia Rothrock, so I will take their word for it.
Number 2 is Troll 2, of course.
Oh yeah, good call on Troll 2.
Number 1 is Samurai Cop, starring Robert Zadar.
Wait, what was number 2?
That was Troll 2.
Yeah.
Troll 2. I thought it was... What was number 3 then? What did I miss?
Undefeatable.
Okay.
With Cynthia Rothrock.
Wow, none of us made this list.
Man, these are hard.
That was actually a pretty deep list. Deep cuts on that one.
That was hardcore.
See, we can't even find any middle ground here because it's like either we go way more obscure than the list is or we underestimate the depth of the list.
Oh, okay. So Birdemic and Troll 2 on the list, but you don't have The Room or Manos? That's bizarre.
Yeah.
I can't believe no Chucky movies and no Leprechaun movies were on there. I mean, have you seen Leprechaun in the Hood?
No. I want to, though. I actually think the Leprechaun movies are pretty funny.
I mean, just to hear Warwick Davis say, "A friend with weed is a friend indeed."
Now we've got the top 10 banned movies.
Okay, I'm going to have to think long and hard on this one.
I'm going to go Human Centipede 2.
Was that banned?
That was banned in Britain.
What the? Top banned, huh?
Banned movies.
Just think of a movie that's got a bunch of screwed up crap in it.
I'm going to go with Cannibal Holocaust. And I don't actually have the data to back this up, but I am fairly certain it was banned for a certain point.
It was banned somewhere for some reason.
Yeah. If not, then if anyone needs me, I'll be in the garage.
The Amish banned it. Oh, it's a movie.
Banned by the Amish for years.
Oh, how do you pronounce that? The Joe D'Amato film. Anthropophagus? Where the dude eats the baby, the fetus.
Oh, yeah.
And it was banned in somewhere because they thought it was actually a fetus. It's a skinned rabbit, but...
Well, still, the imagery of eating a fetus would be enough to ban a movie in some countries.
And even so, a skinned rabbit is no walk in the park.
Number 10 is Grotesque, a 2009 Japanese splatter horror. I have not seen this. Why haven't I seen this?
You haven't seen that?
No. Number 9 is Mikey.
It's pretty brutal. I didn't know it was banned.
It's the kid from Family Ties killing people.
Yeah.
With a crossbow.
This was 92. It's actually a really good movie.
Oh, Human Centipede 2 is number 8.
There you go.
It includes the trailer for Human Centipede 1.
Yep. The Citizen Kane of ass-to-mouth cinema.
Number 7 is Scum.
Which I have not seen.
Number 6 is a Serbian film.
I am so...
Oh, I totally should have guessed Serbian.
I am so sick of hearing about that, though.
That movie's awful.
People are coming up to me all the time, "You want to see a hardcore movie? Watch a Serbian film." I'm like, I do not care how hardcore a movie is. Is it good? Like, oh, I don't know.
It's bad. Number 5 is Natural Born Killers.
That was banned. I love that movie, but...
It was probably banned in, like, France or some bullshit.
It was banned completely in Ireland and denied distribution in some parts of the USA.
Huh.
Ireland.
Yep. Number 4 is The Evil Dead.
Yes, that was banned in England for the longest time.
It does have a scene where a tree rapes a chick.
It was also banned in Finland, Germany, Iceland, and again, Ireland. They're pretty uptight.
They couldn't
Catholic
say,
country.
They couldn't use the phrase tree hugger for the longest time.
Number 3 is Cannibal Holocaust.
There you go.
Yeah, that was a good call. That still disturbs me to this day.
Would you like some turtle soup? No! No!
No. God, no.
Number 2, Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
That is such an awesome...
I'm guessing you're talking about the original.
The original.
Oh, yeah. Not that Platinum Dunes bullshit.
Yeah, the Michael Bay version is not getting banned anywhere.
Banned in this household.
As is everything Michael Bay will ever do.
Number 1 is The Exorcist.
The Exorcist was banned, huh?
Yeah, it was. I don't know, like, I'd like to...
It was banned in the UK.
Like, I wish I was around when The Exorcist was in theaters, because I was around when Dogma was in theaters, and the Catholics completely lost their shit over Dogma. I can't even imagine
what it would... Rubber poop monster.
I know. There is a rubber poop monster right there on the screen. voice.
Yeah, who took Dogma seriously? Obviously the Catholics, but...
Yeah, the Catholic League just went completely nuts over Dogma.
All right, we can opt out on this list here. Top 15 best James Bond deaths.
Honestly, my James Bond death knowledge is very limited.
My gut reaction.
Because I would just go with Alec Trevelyan in GoldenEye because no one dies like Sean Bean.
Then go with that one.
Okay, I'll go with that one.
My guess is the chick from Goldfinger.
Oh, the
painted to death.
My guess is gonna be that end of Diamonds Are Forever. Dude gets like stabbed with a shish kebab and thrown in a pool.
Yeah, that one wasn't bad.
All right, number 15, we got Hugo Drax from Moonraker.
How did he die? I've only seen Moonraker a couple times.
With James Bond's wrist-activated gun and injected it to space.
Oh, his Travis Bickle gun.
Yes. Number 14, Mr. Wint and Mr. Kid, Diamonds Are Forever. That was my guess.
That was the one. 14.
Number 13 is Boris Grishenko in GoldenEye.
Oh, Alan Cumming, you remember that?
Yeah, the dude gets frozen.
Yeah. He was frozen, like, in his victory pose. I liked it. Well,
and as I told Jowski, I saw the actual theatrical trailer for Suburban Commando again the other day, and they actually do use the I was frozen today line in the trailer.
Suburban Commando.
So they actually recognize what the best line in the movie is for the trailer. I was proud of their marketing.
Well, they always put the best parts in the trailer.
But I didn't realize they would actually realize that that's their selling point. That's their best line.
When your star is Hulk Hogan, you got to go with what you can.
Number 12, Dighton's Contact in Casino Royale.
I did not see Casino Royale. Was it good?
It's actually pretty good.
Because Daniel Craig, I like Daniel Craig. Like, I think he's a great actor, but I didn't really appreciate him as James Bond.
Number 11, Electra King and the World Is Not Enough.
Sophie Marceau.
You wouldn't kill me, you'd miss me. Bang, I never miss. Oh, I should have guessed Auric Goldfinger. That is a good death. Number 10 is Goldfinger. He gets sucked out of a tiny little hole on the airplane.
Oh, yeah, it's all, like, crunched up.
Number 9, Aki, and You Only Live Twice.
How does she die?
Oh, the poison along the hair.
Oh, yeah.
They were trying to poison Bond, but he kind of rolls over in his sleep, and she rolls behind him.
She was coming and going at the same time.
Number 8, Baron Samedi, Live and Let Die. I think he's just kicked off a train.
So that's how far they're reaching, kicked off a train.
Number 7, Professor Dent and Dr. No.
How did he die?
Oh, well, it was Dr. No. They did... The description here explains why this is on the list, and this is so convoluted it shouldn't even count, that it's a continuity error in the movie, where the guy goes, that's a Smith & Wesson, you've had your 6 shots, you know, and shoots him, but that was actually his 7th shot, so it's an error in the movie.
So he was killed by a continuity error?
Yes. Number 6, Fran Sanchez, License to Kill.
Robert Davi. Oh.
He's burned to death.
Yeah.
Number 5 is Dr. No.
In Dr. No?
Oh, he falls into,
presumably.
He falls into the nuclear pool water.
I'm sorry, did you just say nuclear?
Radioactive.
Okay.
Number 4, Jill Masterson in Goldfinger.
There you go, sexiest death ever.
Yeah.
You ever wanted a f***ing Oscar?
Number 3 is Tracy Bond from Honor Majesty's Secret Service.
How does she die?
Well, she dies in a drive-by shooting, but it's significant because she's James Bond's wife.
The only time he was married, if I'm not mistaken.
Number 2, Francisco Scaramanga, Man with the Golden Gun.
That is that Christopher Lee?
Yep, that's Christopher Lee.
Yeah.
And number 1, Red Grant from Russia with Love.
Wow, what? I wasn't even on the list.
Why is that the greatest?
I don't know. Well, it's the greatest James Bond movie after Goldfinger.
Goldfinger is my favorite.
Charlie wins that one.
Boom.
Do you want to go with the top 10 remakes that don't suck?
Oh, that's difficult.
Sure. But I don't know if I'm going to get it.
Top 10 remakes that do not suck. All right. Let me think on this.
I'm going to go with King Kong.
You're going to love this one, Fish. Fistful of Dollars.
Ooh, that is a good one.
Because it's a remake of Yojimbo.
And incidentally, I'm reviewing that movie tomorrow. I already posted my review for Yojimbo.
Okay. Now, if I say Reservoir Dogs, that would only bolster your argument that it's a remake of City on Fire. So I'm not going to go with that one. Let's see. Top 10 remakes that don't.
Speaking of Reservoir Dogs, I am discussing plagiarism on Radiodrome with Josh tomorrow.
Are you really?
Yes.
Man.
And by tomorrow, he means last week.
Yes.
Yes.
A week from yesterday, or a week before yesterday. All right, remakes that don't suck. I'm trying to think. I'm going to go with Fright Night.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Because I liked it.
Number 10, The Fly.
I should have gone with that because it was awesome. David Cronenberg's Fly with Jeff Goldblum.
The only time Jeff Goldblum was good in anything.
Number 9 is Ocean's 11. I'm going to disagree.
Because that sucked really bad?
Number 8, The Blob. Actually, that was pretty good.
Yeah, The Blob was good.
Number 7, The Italian Job. I don't know. I avoided it.
Jason Statham, so I'm biased. I like it.
I've only seen the original. I've not seen the remake of that.
Number 6, The Hills Have Eyes.
I disagree with that because the remake was lousy. I mean, okay, the original Hills Have Eyes, I think it was scary because it was so shitty. Like, because it was so crappily made. Like, it looked like someone just had a camcorder like it was actually happening.
You know, here's hope for Kevin that Fistful of Dollars is later on the list because number 5 is The Magnificent Seven, which was remake of Akira Kurosawa's Seven Samurai.
That's true.
Number 4 is Payback.
With Mel Gibson.
Oh, the Mel Gibson one. One of my favorite revenge movies.
Yeah.
Number 3 is King Kong.
Nice.
I don't like the King Kong remake. Wait. I really hated it.
Okay, it is the Peter Jackson one. Just making sure it wasn't that Dino De Laurentiis produced one from the 70s.
Now, was that the one with Jeff Bridges, or was that Mighty... Yeah, okay.
That was the one with Jeff Bridges. And he climbs the World Trade Center.
Yes.
Number 2, Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
That was a good one.
Number 1, why didn't any of us think of this? The Thing.
Oh, yeah, duh.
Damn it. So Friday Night was not on there. Maybe this list, because that's fairly recent, maybe this list was made before that came out.
All right, we got the top 10 films about alcoholics.
Oh, yes.
I'm going with Leaving Las Vegas.
I love films about alcoholics. For some reason, whenever I write something, it's usually got an alcoholic hero. There's a lot of them. You said Leaving Las Vegas?
I said Leaving Las Vegas.
That's a good one. Okay, I'm going with The Lost Weekend. Ray Milland.
I haven't seen any movies about alcoholics, so I'm kind of out of my league here.
You could just go with that one with Meg Ryan that's named after a Michael Bolton song.
I haven't seen that.
Okay, and in fact,
When a man loves a woman, that's what it is.
That's what it's called?
Yeah, it's Meg Ryan and Andy Garcia.
And I am changing my answer to Drunks. Have you ever seen that?
No.
Drunks is a movie, I think it came out like 99, 2000, where it's pretty much just everyone's story from an AA meeting. It's got like Richard Lewis, Amanda Plummer, the first thing I ever saw Sam Rockwell in. Really good movie. So, all right, Kevin.
I have no idea. Like I said, I've never seen any, so I'll just go with that Meg Ryan movie.
Okay.
That Jowski was talking about.
Number 10 is Bad Santa.
It's not really.
He is very much an alcoholic, you gotta admit.
The character is, in fact, an alcoholic, but.
Number 9 is Strange Brew. Yeah, they're lush. They drink a lot, but would you call them alcoholics?
Sideways, then, about
alcoholics? Sideways probably is on this list somewhere.
Number 8, Days of Wine and Roses.
Jack Lemmon, he won the Oscar for that.
Oh, number 7, of course, Arthur.
The Dudley Moore one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That whole movie was just drinking. Leaving Las Vegas is only number 6.
Now, Nicolas Cage won the Oscar for that.
Yeah.
It's I guess if your character is an alcoholic or a drug addict, you've got a good chance of winning an Oscar.
Number 5 is Under the Volcano.
Which I'm not familiar with.
Number 4 is Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf? Yes, I could see that.
Okay.
Number 3, Factotum.
Factotum. Yes. Have you guys seen that one?
No, I haven't.
It's very good. It's pretty much Matt Dillon playing Charles Bukowski.
Oh, cool. And Bukowski was a huge alcoholic.
Yep. Lily Taylor was in Factotum. She was excellent in it.
Number 2.
Incidentally, my introduction to Bukowski through a Modest Mouse song.
Really? No knowledge is lost, I suppose.
Number 2 is House of Sand and Fog.
That's the one with Ben Kingsley, right?
I believe so. I think I remember that.
Jennifer Connelly.
I think Ben Kingsley's in that one. I remember that hearing that was pretty good.
Number 1 is Barfly, which is also based on Bukowski.
Yep.
So what we've learned here is that Bukowski, world's greatest alcoholic?
I guess. I mean, not all alcoholics are bad, I guess. And one omission, have you guys ever seen Trees Lounge?
Yes, I have.
Steve Buscemi's directorial debut. It was a really good movie.
Do you want to go with the top 11 great gay interest movies?
Gay interest?
We don't have to do this list.
We could.
My knowledge is extremely
what
limited.
What else did you have pre-selected?
All right, we've got the 10 classic dying lines in movie.
Dying lines.
Well, like, Rosebud's number 1. There's...
that your pick?
Yeah, I would do it. I mean, that's
an excellent pick, Kevin.
My pick is Yoda's There's Another Skywalker.
You
can go with the most popular, which is usually... Gah!
Yeah. Yes, I'll have to go with... Good thing these tickets were free, because this place... from the Abraham Lincoln story. No, let me think.
Oh, well, there's the Godfather's dying line that Marlon Brando has.
Yeah. Which is, are you going to finish that?
Damn it. I don't know. I'm kind of blanking here. Okay. I forget what the actual line is, but the whole soliloquy delivered by Darth Vader after after the helm was taken off at the end of Jedi.
All right. Number 10, we have Jack Dawson and Leonardo DiCaprio. Never let go.
God,
I thought it was just like...
Number 9. Let's see if you can guess this movie.
Freedom!
Oh, yeah. That is his last line.
Yeah,
bro.
William Wallace.
Number 8 is Thelma and Louise. Go. You sure? Yeah.
Yeah.
The most casual suicide ever.
Yeah, might as well.
Number 7.
All right.
Hans Gruber in...
Die Hard?
Die Hard, yeah. What was it you said to me before? Yippee-ki-yay, mother...
Alan Rickman's just the
number
man.
Number 6 is Roy Batty, Rutger Hauer's character in Blade Runner.
Yeah, that one's not bad.
All these moments will be lost in time, like tears and rain. Time to die. Number 5 is Colonel Kurtz, Marlon Brando. Apocalypse Now, the horror, the horror.
I don't know about that.
Number 4 is Rabbi, John Cleese, Private Bryan. That whole Jehovah bit.
Yeah, that's
all I
not
said
bad.
Was this movie was good enough for Jehovah. Blasphemy! Number 3, Obi-Wan Kenobi in Star Wars.
Getting closer. I might be on this list. There's still hope for me.
Number 2, HAL 9000.
Okay, that doesn't count as a death, though, because HAL was a machine.
Where he sings Daisy.
Yeah.
Dave, my mind is going.
That doesn't count.
Number 1 is Rosebud, Kevin.
Good job. Okay.
So that's why I sort of didn't want to do the list, because I, you know, it's like, yeah, I mean.
And with that, Kevin is on the board.
Yeah, finally. I usually dominate these games. Today I'm getting my ass kicked, but you know.
Right, the top 10 worst sitcoms of the 90s and 2000s.
I am ready for this.
I'm going to go with Heil, Honey, I'm Home.
That was from the 90s and 2000s?
I think so.
Are you talking about the old-timey sitcom family in today's world?
Heil, Honey, I'm Home lasted one episode. It was a BBC show, I believe.
What year?
That's what I'm looking up for you now.
I mean, I got 20 years to work with, so...
Heil, Honey, I'm Home, 1990.
Yep, there we go.
Just barely.
Adolf Hitler and Eva Braun have a love-hate relationship with their Jewish neighbors in this bizarre spoof of 50s American sitcoms. I'm going to go with that 80s show.
I liked that 80s show.
Yeah, I kind of liked it, too.
Just
I mean,
throwing that out there.
What was the chick's name? Brittany Daniels?
I don't remember. I just thought the show was
but
cool.
She's been in a ton of stuff since then. All right, my guess, worst sitcoms. Okay, some of you may not remember this, but I'm going to go with Whoops.
I don't remember that, you're right.
it was a comedy on Fox. It was on after Herman's Head. That was the lead-in.
I obviously didn't stay after watching Herman's Head.
Right, it was about the 5 remaining people after nuclear annihilation.
Oh!
They're all miraculously unharmed, and the lead character survived nuclear annihilation because he was in his Volvo at the time.
Volvos. Solid car.
The show was called Whoops.
No, I think I heard of that show before, but I definitely did not stay up to watch it after Herman's Head.
Number 10, 8 Rules for Dating My Teenage Daughter after John Ritter.
Okay. Oh, after John Ritter. Connie goes,
I'll buy that.
I like that show. And then you hear after John Ritter, she goes, oh, yeah.
Number 9 was Get a Life.
Okay, I will defend this show to the death. Get a Life was awesome. Did you ever see it?
I have not seen Get a Life.
It was another sitcom from Fox's really bizarre period.
1990.
Chris Elliott plays a full-grown paperboy. Brian Doyle Murray was his roommate, and it was just such bizarre storylines, like time travel and nuclear waste, and just all like Brian Doyle Murray was exposed to nuclear waste, and his power that he got from it was origami.
Number 8 is Gary Unmarried from 2009. Not familiar with it. It lasts 2 seasons, though.
Okay, is that Jay Moore?
That looks like Jay Moore, but it doesn't say.
I believe it was Jay Moore.
Did you ever see, on the subject of Jay Moore, have you guys, did you watch Action when it was on? This was 99, 2000?
No.
Action was a really underrated show. Jay Moore played Peter Dragon, a movie producer.
Yeah, I saw one episode, maybe. I think I liked it, but me and TV, we'll talk about this more later when Josh is on, but me and TV have kind of a love-hate relationship. I really don't watch a lot of TV.
I watch way too much TV.
Number 7 is Bob Patterson from 2001.
And it was rightfully included on this list. It was really bad.
Last
I mean,
five episodes.
After Seinfeld, the three sidekicks on Seinfeld each had their own shows that just bombed entirely. Like, Michael Richards had one where he was a private investigator.
Oh, God.
Do you remember that?
No. Yes, I'm kind of glad I don't remember that.
Oh, it was quite bad.
Number six is My Big Fat Greek Life.
Oh, yeah, they did make a TV show about that.
That was a sitcom based on a movie.
Number five is Baby Bob from 2000.
Yeah, I think I have a fleeting memory of that.
Number four is Michael Richards' show.
See that?
There you go.
Number three is Saved by the Bell, The New Class.
Oh.
Not the college years.
No, the college years was a work of art for the ages.
Honestly, we'll go back and watch Saved by the Bell. The series sucked. We all view it so fondly, nostalgically, but it's objectively terrible.
It's because our memories now are based on Showgirls. I think that's why it gets a few bonus points.
Number two, Accidentally on Purpose from 2009.
I had heard of that. I didn't watch it, obviously.
It was
Jenna Elfman post Dharma and Greg.
And Dharma and Greg was not a great show either.
And number one is Joey.
The Friends spinoff. Yeah, Joey was bad.
Did any of us win this list?
No, I wasn't anywhere on here.
Neither was I.
I think this is another case of me going too deep.
Number one, the top 10 most hated TV stars.
Hated TV stars, huh?
No, I move that we not go with this list, because if this includes reality TV, then it's just too rich of a ground.
Do you want to go with the top 10 most best original film scores?
Film scores? No. What are we, the Academy?
Star Wars.
Oh, yeah. See, in Superman, there's two.
John Williams' entire discography. Done.
Yeah, his entire life, pretty much.
That's the list. Oh, and maybe you can throw in whoever did, whoever did Forrest Gump's soundtrack.
Was it Howard Shore?
No, it might have been. I can't recall offhand.
No, it's Alan Silvestri. The only reason I know that is because it sounds nothing like the Predator soundtrack, which Alan Silvestri also did.
I'm going with the Predator soundtrack.
I do love the Predator soundtrack.
I have number 10 showing here, but I don't think any of us will pick what number 10
Okay,
is.
So we're doing this, the best original scores?
Yeah.
Okay, let's see here.
I'm still taking Star Wars.
Yeah, all right. Then I'm going to go with Indiana Jones.
Oh, that's good too.
Incidentally, have you guys seen that sketch on The Whitest Kids You Know about John Williams trying to write a score for a fictitious movie, like a Star Wars and Indiana Jones crossover, and he's trying to write the music for the wedding between Short Rounder and an Ewok? it was very funny. Right,
number 10 is Titanic.
Yep.
Boo.
That was Howard Shore, right?
Yeah, that was Howard Shore.
Okay.
Number 9 is Atonement.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh, never.
The Omen, of course.
Oh, The Omen score was awesome.
Number 7, Slumdog Millionaire.
And I should have chose that one, because it was freaking beautiful. I don't even like Bollywood. I don't even like India in general. Because, like, few people have as much... Like, there's a few people that have actually been there and come back to tell the tale. And,
yes, you have been there.
I have been there, and India sucks. Just all around. I probably lost, like, 13 pounds. I was there for 10 days.
Number 6 is Schindler's List from John Williams.
John Williams, yeah.
So is that John Williams' first spot on this list?
First spot, yes.
Okay.
Probably first of, like, 5.
Number 5, The Agony and the Ecstasy from Alex Smith.
I don't think I can remember that one.
Me neither. Number 4,
John Williams. Quarterback writing scores, too. Wow. Multi-virtual.
Number 4 is John Williams again with the E.T. soundtrack. That was actually stuck in my head.
That gets stuck in your head.
Randomly.
Like, without watching the movie.
Yeah. Bum, bum, ba-da-da-da. Oh, because I watched Jaws, so I had John Williams stuck in my head anyway.
Okay.
Number 3, American Beauty from Tom Newman.
I actually like American Beauty's soundtrack. The score is good.
That had, like, the glockenspiel, I believe.
Number 2 is Chariots of Fire.
Yeah, Vangelis.
Number 1, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Oh.
B.S. Not even I don't even remember the music from that movie.
No. Who remembers anything except prancing about on tree limbs?
Yeah.
And as far as one of those, you know, wire foo kind of movies, it's weak. It's really weak.
Well, I mean, it was one of the first that used...
Came out in the U.S.
Yeah.
But,
here's one that'll make us angry. Oh, you want to go with the top 10 movie posters? That's real hard to do on radio.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not a good radio topic. Let's do that
one. You guys should see this poster. It is awesome.
The top 10 most popular films for teenagers? Wait, yeah, most popular teenager movies.
Now, is this movies geared towards teenagers or movies with teenagers?
Movies with teenagers.
About teenagers. Okay.
About teenagers.
Now, this is most popular. So not necessarily the best, just the most viewed. My guess.
Twilight.
Okay, did any of us win that last list?
No.
None of us were on there. So I'm just going to swoop in and go first, if you don't mind.
Yeah, sure, go for it.
The Breakfast Club.
Oh, good call.
Might be one.
I'm going to go Twilight.
Yeah.
Because dorky teenagers like stupid-ass Twilight.
They sure do.
Oh, God, I don't even have one here. Fast Times.
Wow, that's good.
Fast Times at Ridgemont High. That was a good one.
Number 10 is Rebel Without a Cause.
Not bad.
Never saw it, so obviously I wasn't a normal teenager.
Are you serious? You've never seen that?
Never been interested in it.
Oh, it's a classic, dude. It's awesome.
You would recognize it. Oh, well. How often do you ever go to Griffith Observatory?
Never.
Never?
Never.
How dare you?
You lived in Southern California and you liked science, but you never went to Griffith Observatory?
Not even to see, like, Laser Floyd or anything like that?
Nope.
I went there, like, once a year. I would get neck cramps in that planetarium.
It wasn't because of the shape of the planetarium. Oh, you set me up for that one.
Number 9 is Lahaine.
How did you get those neck cramps?
Number 8, Stand By Me.
Yes, I love that movie.
By and large, I do not like Rob Reiner, but I love Stand By Me.
Yeah.
It's a Stephen King story, and it's got Will Wheaton in it.
Will Wheaton.
Come on, Will Wheaton.
Number 7 is The Breakfast Club.
Only number 7!
On the list, at least. We haven't even made the list the last couple of times, Charlie. We should be happy if you even get on the list.
Number 6 is Dead Poets Society.
Really? That's popular amongst teenagers?
Well, it's a popular film about teenagers.
Oh.
I was, I think, 12 when I saw Dead Poets Society, and I really liked it.
Number 5 is American Graffiti. Yeah, we're
Lucas, but I've not seen American Graffiti.
Yeah, well...
Actually, American Graffiti is overrated, if you ask me.
I don't know if you can call that. It is about teenagers, but everyone in that movie looks 30.
I know. Most of the cast were well past their teenagers.
Harrison Ford as a teenager? Come on.
Yeah.
Richard Dreyfuss?
I know. Richard Dreyfuss has never been young.
Number 4, Y Tu Mama Tambien?
That's the movie where they just go bang old chicks, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
It's not really a fair analysis of that movie.
Number 3, To Sir With Love. Of course.
Yeah.
Number 2, Elephant. Why didn't I go with my gut?
Right guess, wrong list.
Yes. Oh, no. Oh, Fast Times.
Damn. I cannot believe that Fast Times placed higher than The Breakfast Club. That's not right.
Or Elephant. Top 10 movies about vampires?
That's not bad. There's been a few good ones. It doesn't all have to be Twilight.
I would go with Nosferatu.
Okay, are we doing best or popular? Because, again...
Is this one best or most popular?
It just says top 10 movies about, so it must be
So I'm
best.
Guessing this one is going to be best.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go with Shadows of a Vampire, then, since you're going with Nosferatu.
Oh, Shadow of the Vampire is awesome. That was on IFC the other day, and I had forgotten how freaking genius Willem Dafoe is in that movie.
Yes. Love that
and
movie.
John Malkovich, for that matter.
Yes, excellent.
It was good. I'm going with... See, I've got two really good ones. I don't know which one would be on this list, though. Okay, I'm going to go with Lost Boys.
Ooh,
and my backup on that was From Dusk Till Dawn.
Oh, another one I like.
All right, number 10 is Nosferatu.
Okay.
God, this is going to be a bad list if that's only number 10.
Strap in, kids.
Number 9, Dracula Dead and Loving It.
Which is not terrible.
Mel Brooks' weakest movie, maybe, but I still love
movie,
it.
But you know what? Peter McNichols, or is it McNichols or just Nichols?
I can't remember.
Peter Nichols, the guy who played
Renfield.
Yeah. He was great in that.
Oh, God, number 8 is Underworld.
The first one?
The first one's all right.
Yeah, I mean, you can't hold it against the first one. Because at that point, we didn't know it was going to become a beast that cannot be fed.
For a moment, I thought I was reading this list backwards, but no, there are still 7 movies. Number 7 is Blade?
The first one, though.
Yeah,
it was okay.
They show the poster for Blade 2.
Yeah, it says Blade, but it... As the poster for Blade 2. But the first Blade wasn't bad. Yeah. It's got, like, Donald Logue in a supporting role.
Number 6 is From Dusk Till Dawn.
Okay, oh,
now
shit.
Now this list is getting back on track.
Okay, Lost Boys had better be on this list then.
Number 5 is Bram Stoker's Dracula, the Coppola one with...
Keanu Reeves.
Reeves.
Okay, Keanu Reeves notwithstanding, Gary Oldman was awesome.
Yeah, he's always awesome.
Lost in Space, he was awesome.
That made the giant butt hair...
Number 4
popular
is Hammer's Dracula with Christopher Lee as Dracula.
Christopher Lee.
Well, you can't go wrong with Christopher Lee.
Yeah, especially as Dracula.
Number three is Interview with the Vampire.
That movie.
I was gonna say that. I love that movie.
Do you really?
I do.
I can't get through that whole movie because it's about 6.5 hours too long.
Yeah.
Number two is Lost Boys.
There you go.
And number one, John Carpenter's Vampires.
What?
This list.
Actually, James Woods was awesome in that. Yeah.
Did you review John Carpenter's Vampires when you were doing
stuff? I just left that one out when I did all those John Carpenter movies.
Conveniently left that one out.
It's includement of Bon Jovi should not. I mean, certainly not number one.
Do we want to go with the top 10 silent movies?
Did you tally my score?
Oh yes, I will right now.
Don't want to do silent movies. I haven't seen enough of them. I really should start expanding. I love the genre, so you'd think I would see more of them, but I haven't seen that.
That reminds me of a joke that I did on stage a couple weeks ago. I was like, you know how people talk in movie theaters? You should yell at them to shut up. But when I was seeing The Artist, I turned around because someone was talking. I was like, shut up. And they said, what dialogue am I interrupting? And I said, touche. And I sat down all pissed off.
Do you want to go with the top 10 expensive movies that flopped?
Oh, there's a lot of them.
High-budgeted movies that flopped, like
Ishtar.
Yeah.
You want to take Ishtar?
You guys both went to Ishtar right away. That was awesome. Well, yes, let's do that one.
If you take Ishtar, I'll take Cutthroat Island.
Okay, I want Ishtar because, again, I'm losing, so I should get a chance.
Okay, so you get first grabs at Ishtar, which is an excellent choice. I am going with Waterworld.
Oh, that's excellent.
And I took Cutthroat Island.
And Cutthroat Island was a huge piece of
Number 10 is Heaven's Gate.
I don't think I'm
not familiar with
1980?
It.
I don't think I remember that one.
Number 9 is Cleopatra from 1963.
Cleopatra was like the Cutthroat Island of its day.
$26 million.
Is that the Elizabeth Taylor?
$26 million is what it made. $44 million is what it cost. Yes.
Yeah.
Cecil B. DeMille's. Number 8 is Geely.
Geely. See, I don't know how expensive Geely was, though.
It was $54 million budget, out of which it earned $7 million back.
Ouch.
Number 7 is Ishtar, Kevin.
Hey, at least I'm on the list.
Good.
$55 million, earned $14.3 million.
Oh.
Number 6 is Battlefield Earth.
Oh, yeah.
Made for $21.4 million. No, wait. Made for $75 million. $21.4 million was its domestic and international gross.
That's domestic and international?
Yep.
Oh my god, I can't believe $74 million. No, which was it?
$75 million was its budget.
And I can't believe $21.4 million worth of tickets were sold to that.
Number 5, The Adventures of Pluto Nash.
I didn't know that was a big budget though.
It had $100 million budget, out of which it was able to recover approximately $7.1 million.
Now, The Adventures of Pluto Nash had John Cleese as a robot, not to be confused with John Cleese as a gorilla in George of the Jungle.
Number 4, Cutthroat Island.
Nice.
$92 million budget, it earned back $11 million.
Now, that was Rennie Harlan, was it not?
Yep.
Yeah.
Number 3 is Stealth.
Stealth.
Yeah, I forgot that movie even existed.
$5 million budget.
Did any of you actually see Stealth?
No. I feel like I said I forgot it even existed.
I saw it on TNT. It was awful.
Number 2 is Speed 2.
Cruise Control.
$160 million budget. Doesn't say how much it earned. Probably nothing. Number 1 was Waterworld.
Boom!
There you go.
Even though the ratio here isn't that far, $175 million budget, it grossed $116.8 million.
But it was just so bad. Like, I mean, and
I'm going to defend Waterworld. The concept is very interesting.
Well, see, the concept is okay, but, I mean, the execution was awful. I mean, when you think about how much money it must have cost to give Kevin Costner vaginas behind his ears.
Do we want to go with the top 10 Adam Sandler movies?
No.
No.
There's no list of good Adam Sandler movies, so...
Actually, it's a one-movie list called Punch Drunk Love.
Yeah.
The wife hates Punch Drunk Love.
God, that was boring.
God, that was boring. Was
you don't like Punch Drunk Love?
I freaking turned it off halfway through. Or not even, like 20 minutes in, I turned it off because I was like, this is boring.
Okay, well, if you didn't make it through all the way to the end, I can't value your opinion of Punch Drunk Love because I liked it a lot.
I couldn't get through it.
So there you have it, folks.
Right. What about Funny People? Did you guys see that?
Is that the one where he's like dying of cancer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Did not see it.
Okay. Jowski just brought up the 10 most venomous snakes.
Do you want to go with the top 10 snake movies or the top 10 most venomous snakes?
Okay, we can't go with most venomous snakes because any amount of venom is too much.
I totally have cotton. I got the black mamba. That's what I got for number... No, we're not doing the venomous snakes.
Yeah, let's not do that.
No, just run through it. We got the multi-banded
crate. What are we, like, herpetologists or whatever?
I know jack about... Are snakes even reptiles? I don't even know that.
Yes, they are reptiles. Okay.
Black mamba. Russell's viper. Oh, Russell.
Russell's viper?
Oh, Russell's viper, yeah.
The Indian king cobra.
Why does Russell have so many vipers in his house?
The Philippine cobra.
Cobra!
See, what scale is this being judged on? Because any amount of venom will kill...
deadly.
We don't need to...
Number three was the beaked sea snake, which my daughter will fight to the death on that's not deadly.
The beaked sea snake?
She was like, oh, look at the cute sea snake. I'm like, it's deadly, it'll kill you. No, it won't, it's cute.
That's how they get you. They look adorable, and then, bam.
We got the inland taipan, and then the belcher sea snake.
Why are we discussing this list?
I don't know.
This is a horrible decision.
Terrible list.
None of us know anything about snakes.
It's just to get us ready for the top 10 snake movies.
Okay, snake movies I can wrap my head around.
With Snakes on a Plane.
Snakes on a Plane, that's a good one.
Anaconda.
Oh, that's a good one, too. I was watching that on Stars.
John Voight winking as he dies.
Oh, that was sweet. Eric Stoltz is the palest man ever to be in the sun for any amount of time. Okay, snake.
Some reason someone thought Jennifer Lopez could act.
Snake movies. You guys took the best ones already.
Yeah, what are you left with? Python versus Gatoroid?
Well, he's got anacondas.
Oh, would Raiders of the Lost Ark count? Because it's just that one scene, but there are so many snakes in that scene.
It is an important scene in the movie. And Temple of Doom, for that matter, where they eat the snake.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right.
You could go with...
Is that the whole title?
Yeah, that's the title.
Or the gay version. Okay, you guys took the only two that I would even guess, so I'm just going to go with Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Number 10 is Viper, starring Tara Reid.
This is going to be an awesome list.
Yeah, buckle in, kids.
Number 9 is The Snake King.
The Snake King?
Yes, starring Stephen Baldwin, also known as Snake Man.
Stephen Baldwin. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, Stephen Baldwin was the one in Biodome.
Yeah.
Right?
Stephen Baldwin is the one that looks like a caveman.
Okay. So,
number 8 is Boa versus Python. Well, I can see that. Two constrictor snakes having it out.
See, I didn't even know. In fact, I'm going to change my answer to The Serpent and the Rainbow.
For some reason, number 7 is also Boa versus Python.
Okay, well, have we got... Okay, it's the same pictures.
That's a great movie.
Number 8 was Curse to the Bite.
This looks to be just a typographical error. They used the same picture for both of them.
Number 6 is Conan the Barbarian. For a second, I thought they used the wrong picture, but it is indeed Conan the Barbarian.
Well, I'm revising... I'm kidding when I say this, but I'm revising it to Cade Mullers.
And in fact, I'm changing mine back. I'm going to stick with Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Number 5 is Python.
Casper Van Dien.
With Will Wheaton.
Well, then automatically wins.
Number 4 is Anacondas, The Hunt for the Blood Orchid.
The sequel that nobody asked for.
I could have told you could have gone with Anacondas.
Number 3 is Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Thank God. Okay.
Number 2, Snakes on a Plane.
Damn it.
And number 1 is Anaconda.
Son of a bitch.
Booyah, Anaconda. John Voight winking as he gets spit up dead by a snake.
We were the top three. That's not bad.
Top 10, that's spaghetti scenes. Top 10 movies, memorable spaghetti scenes.
Spaghetti scenes?
Yeah, let's throw that one away and never speak of it again.
Spaghetti? Are you serious?
Yes.
Who the f*** cares about spaghetti?
That is sort of intriguing.
The top 10.
I've never seen a spaghetti scene. I got it. Lady and the Tramp is number 1, so we don't need to do that list.
Because some of them are too obvious. They may not be on this list, because I mentioned Leprechaun in Da Hood earlier. Okay, I'm going to do the outro as Christopher Walken. Are you ready for this? Thank you so much for listening this week to Geek Juice Radio. Please visit our website, www.geekjuicemedia.com. Thank you very much for listening. We will see you next week. For Kevin Daly and Alex Jowski, my name is Christopher Walken. We'll see you next time. Oh.
Awesome. Sometimes.
The honest day's too much, and I have to close my eyes and hide. I wanna hold you till I die, till we both break down and cry. I wanna hold you till the fear in me subsides. Romance and all the strategy leaves me battling with my pride. But through the insecurity, some tenderness survives. I'm just another writer, still trapped within my truth. A hesitant prize fighter, still trapped within my youth. And sometimes when we touch, the honesty's too much, and I have to close my eyes and hide. I wanna hold you till I die, till we both break down and cry. I wanna hold you till the fear in me subsides. At times I'd like to break you and drive you to your knees. At times I'd like to break through and hold you endlessly. And sometimes when we touch, the eyes